الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تهنوا في ابتغاء القوم إن تكونوا تألمون فإنهم يألمون كما تألمون وترجون من الله ما لا يرجون وكان الله عليما حكيما. وقال تعالى: إن يمسسكم قرح فقد مس القوم قرح مثله وتلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس وليعلم الله الذين آمنوا ويتخذ منكم شهداء والله لا يحب الظالمين. وعن أبي أمامة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الدين ظاهرين لعدوهم قاهرين، لا يضرهم من خالفهم أو قال خذلهم إلا ما أصابهم من لأواء حتى يأتيهم أمر الله وهم كذلك. قالوا: يا رسول الله، وأين هم؟ قال: ببيت المسجد، ببيت المقدس وأكناف بيت المقدس، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected and honorable ulama-i kiram, members of the congregation, brothers and sisters who may possibly be listening, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the days that will be coming, in the next few days, just after the next Jum'ah, we will be commemorating a very bleak event and the start of a genocide that had happened and that is continuing to happen in Gaza. And when a year passes, it is time for reflection, it is time for introspection, it is time to become more zealous in our efforts to emancipate Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Because the reality, the fact of the matter is that the qadiyya, the matter of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak is not a Palestinian matter. It is not a matter that deals with the Arab League. It is not a Middle Eastern issue. It is an issue that is central to the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is important for us to use this opportunity to introspect, to beef up our efforts in the emancipation of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. And the reality is that, and history bears testimony to the fact that world conditions change around what is happening in and around Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. And for those who have got some level of foresight and insight, and they are able, they are not just reliant on mainstream media for their news, they are reliant on the foresight that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a mu'min and a believer with because of his spirituality. اتقوا فراسة المؤمن. It is said that fear the foresight of a mu'min and a believer, and this foresight is developed through developing our own spirituality, our own connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our own reflection of the akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses His servants with this level of foresight. It is not very far, insha'Allah. I do not claim to have that level of foresight, not at all. But from what the ulama and the scholars around the world are saying, it is very, very close, insha'Allah, that this ummah is not going to come out of the trenches that it finds itself in. And there is going to be a new life, a new era for the dominance of this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we need to understand as an ummah what role we need to play in order to achieve that particular dominance and that particular victory, and what we need to go on doing. And therefore it is an important period of time for us to discuss this very, very important and central issue around Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. It is a period of time, if you have to calculate, then there have been such massacres that have come upon the unyielding resistance of the people of Gaza that a person cannot imagine the type of massacres that have come. And it has almost become like normalized for us to watch it on our screens, to see it on our phones, to read the news, and nothing ever happens to us. Whereas we are one ummah. This ummah is one ummah. We are like one body. If a part of that body aches and pains, the rest of that body is supposed to stay awake and search for ways and means to emancipate and to free and to rid the other part of the body from the difficulty that it finds itself in. And if we are not experiencing that, my brothers, then we need to go back to the question of, and the difficult question, that how attached are we to that ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and Hazrat Abu Umama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates the hadith. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la tazalu ta'ifatum min ummati ala ad-din zahirin li'aduwwihim qahirin. A group from my ummah will remain adherent to their faith, prevailing over their adversaries, prevailing over their enemies. When the genocide started on the 7th of October, when the Israelis unleashed their military might, they thought that it was going to be a walk in the park. That is the reality. They thought that it will all be over in a week or two, and that will be it. Now it is them who are calling for a ceasefire. It is them who are calling for a ceasefire, and the leadership of the resistance is saying that we are ready for a very, very long battle, and we have prepared for a very long battle. So, whereas outwardly it might seem as though the general population of Gaza is going through a lot of pain, a lot of strife, a lot of difficulty, and there is absolutely no doubt that they are going through that. But there is no occasion for us to ask the question. There are many in the community that are asking that why did the Haraka even embark upon what they embarked upon on the 7th of October? They knew that they were going to be handled like this. They were going to be massacred like this. Their population was going to be massacred like this. But still they embarked upon that. Wasn't that short-sightedness on their part? And we are hearing and getting questions with regards to that. And many of from the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are asking those particular questions. My dear brothers, they had to do what they had to do. And the immense success of what they have done is unfolding right now. Irrespective of the great pains that they are going through. The Quran says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا فِي ابْتِغَاءِ الْقَوْمِ, that do not lose strength, do not become weak in pursuing your enemy. إِن تَكُونُوا تَأْلَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَأْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَأْلَمُونَ. If you are suffering pain, O believers, then they have also suffered significant pain. Pain just like how you have suffered. وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. And what you hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can never even imagine to begin to imagine to hope for those rewards by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِن تَكُونُوا تَأْلَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَأْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَأْلَمُونَ. وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. You hope from Allah what they cannot even begin to imagine to hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, there are people who are being martyred. But in this entire 1 year of the genocide that is continuing, have we one day even seen a protest against the resistance in Gaza? Even for one day, have we seen a protest against the resistance in Gaza? That itself is telling us a story. On the contrary, you will see protests on the Israeli side in Tel Aviv. Virtually every weekend, every day, there are protests against their government and calling on their government to step down and to release, sign an agreement, irrespective of what it is. So this is showing who is in control and what is going on. And there is absolutely no occasion for us to ask these types of questions and to have despondency in what is occurring and what is happening. Before we ask these questions, we need to ask ourselves, we need to understand first what is going on. Whereas this is the first anniversary that is coming about of the genocide, it is not the first anniversary that the Palestinian people, a bleak anniversary at that, which they are experiencing. This year is 107 years. 107 years since Baytul Maqdis was snatched away from the Muslim Ummah by virtue of the dubious Balfour Declaration. Do we as an Ummah know about these things? It marks 76 years since 78% of the population of Palestine was driven out of their homes on the occasion of the Nakba, the catastrophe. These are important facts that we as an ummah need to be aware about. It didn't start on the 7th of October. It was not something that was instigated and incited by the Haraka. Do we even know 1 year into the genocide what Hamas stands for? The West would like for us to believe. They would like for us to believe that Hamas is a terrorist organization. But that same West that said that Hamas is a terrorist organization, they also referred to the ANC and Nelson Mandela as a terrorist and a terrorist organization. One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. We must remember that and we must know about these particular facts. Hamas, very briefly, stands for, the Ha is Al-Haraka. It means movement in Arabic. The Mim, the M, stands for Al-Muqawama, which means resistance. Which means resistance. Al-Harakatul Muqawama. And the Sin or the S stands for Al-Islamiyya, the Islamic resistance movement. When people came and they snatched Masjid al-Aqsa away and they drove people out of their homes, there was a movement that had commenced and started in the name of Hamas, and they had two options: either to live a life of slavery and servitude under the oppressive Zionist regime, or to resist that occupation. And of course they would have chosen the latter. Any intelligent person would have chosen the latter. So it is important for us to understand that. And then this haraka, this resistance is not a resistance that has been continuing just for 1 year or 2 years. It is a resistance that is continuing for year after year, decade after decade. They are passing on the resistance from one generation to the other. Imagine. And one of the benefits of the 7th of October and the attack that Hamas, the very successful attack that they unleashed out against their enemies and the enemies of Islam and the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that one of the great benefits is that the world was on the verge, and particularly the Middle East and the Arab nations were on the verge. Some countries had already normalized relationships. Others were on the verge of normalizing relationships with Israel. But we say what the leader of the Haraka mentioned, rahimahullah, that لن نعترف لن نعترف لن نعترف بإسرائيل. We will never, never, ever recognize Israel. And it is important for every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to accept that and to understand that. It is extremely important for us to regain and understand and revive these very important concepts. One of the important concepts, one of the important achievements of that was, there were perhaps large chunks of the Palestinian population in Gaza that were going through the normal atrocities that they were going through day after day. The humiliation, the zulm and the oppression, the atrocities that they were going through, they were going through. But they had not gone through maybe a prolonged war. And in order, if you think and reflect over it, for them to go on, go through physically a prolonged war was extremely essential to pass down the resistance from one generation to the other. Do you think there is anyone in the 1.8 million people or 1.9 million of people of Gaza that are left? Because it is said, although the official figures in September, the health ministry of Gaza took out a document which is more than 600 pages long with the list of those people who they know have passed away, with their ages and their genders, with their ages and their genders. More than 600 pages, 42,000 people. But experts are saying that it is not overestimating to say that at least 187,000 people, which converts to almost 8% of the population of Gaza, has been massacred and has been killed at this time. And these are important things that we as an ummah need to be aware about. They massacre like how they massacre. And it doesn't affect us as an ummah. A lot of other benefits are also part of what Hamas had done. And it is important for us to identify those. The true colors of freedom, the true colors of those who, the proponents of freedom, the proponents of freedom of speech, liberalism, feminism, human rights, global institutions are being exposed. Isn't it true that those organizations that speak about feminism, where are they when they speak about when the massacres are happening against the women of Gaza? Those who speak about animal rights, where are they when the massacres are happening against animals? Can you imagine? Against animals in Gaza. The United Nations, so many of their resolutions have been flouted by the Israeli regime. So many have been flouted, but it doesn't mean anything to these. And this itself is such a big and great achievement of the resistance. Number one. Number two, Palestine has been reasserted as a key global concern. This is a benefit that has been achieved globally in Western countries, in Eastern countries, from North to South, from East to West. Palestine, which was slowly being forgotten, is now once again a global agenda item. It is a global concern, and it has, like I mentioned, history is testimony to the fact that world conditions change around what happens in and around Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Normalization plans with Israel have been discredited. Normalization plans have been discredited, and that is a very, very great achievement on the part of the Haraka and the part of the resistance. Other benefits include also that unity is being engendered amongst Muslims. Deep collaboration in the political, economic, technological spheres are being explored. And it is very, very important for us as an ummah that, my brothers, we need to be united. We need to be united as an ummah. Not only amongst different organizations, from the very roots, from our families, we need to be united as an ummah. The Quran says, O believers, إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ فَاثْبُتُوا When you have to meet your enemy, then be steadfast. And remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. And don't quarrel and fight about petty issues. Because quarreling and fight will cause your strength to go away. So we need to be united as an ummah. And this whole thing that is happening in the Middle East is indeed engendering a lot of unity on the global level amongst different factions of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The spirit of striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and martyrdom has witnessed a revival as well. We see that revival. The reality is, if you look at what is going on, there is no diplomatic solution to what is happening. The enemy is not interested in a diplomatic solution. And therefore, it is upon the ummah to do whatever, whoever can do, to help our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Gaza, now recently in Lebanon. Because that is not the, it's not going to stop at Lebanon. Their goal and objective is Medina Munawwara. وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودِ وَلَنْ نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ The Quran is so clear. They will never, the Yahud and Nasara, will never ever be happy and pleased until you follow their religion. Until you follow their religion. I am not saying for a moment that we must be doing things that will jeopardize our own existence. I think it's very important to make that clear. But whatever we are able to do as South Africans living here, and we are able to do a lot, the very fact that we can speak on a Jummah platform like this, our government has adopted a particular stance and approach which is very, very commendable. And they have led the way to declare what Israel is doing as a genocide. We can do a lot in this particular country, and we should be doing a lot to help and assist our brothers and sisters. Time has expired. Otherwise, there are a lot of things. Maybe I will just read out very quickly, and we can ponder and reflect over some of the things that need to be done. Number one is to endeavor to observe all the fundamentals of Islam correctly and to desist from sin. Engage in abundant istighfar and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Enhance our relationship with the Holy Quran, drawing inspiration from the people of Gaza and their Quranic feet. In the midst of the genocide, how many people are memorizing the Quran? They're attaching themselves to the Quran, and we see all of these things on our screens. What stops us then from getting closer to donate generously to relief, rebuilding and empowerment efforts, to maintain the boycotts of Israeli supporting products and companies, and to urge retailers and wholesalers to stop stocking these products as well. It is extremely important. At the United Ulama Council of South Africa a few weeks ago, I was part of that particular meeting. One of these companies came and they pleaded to the United Ulama Council that please tell your community to start purchasing these products, otherwise our company is going to close down. We have made all efforts to remove any wrong sort of connotation that has come upon any actions or any stance that have been, that we have been perceived to have taken. So the simple question we asked was, but do you condemn Israel? Do you condemn Israel? And they are not prepared to condemn Israel. So should we not then pursue and continue with our, so what if we don't have the Coca-Cola after a biryani meal on a Friday? It doesn't matter. These small little efforts will be written for us. And we need to pursue these things very, very vigorously and religiously for the benefit of our brothers and sisters and little, little children in Gaza and in Palestine. So the call is for us to commemorate and for us to reflect over 1 year of the genocide by number one, by fasting this coming Thursday. And fasting on a Thursday and a Monday is sunnah. And fasting the next Monday, which is the 7th of October. We must all make intention, inshallah, that we are going to fast. As-siyam hatta tahrir. Al-Quds Foundation in Cape Town, they have been fasting every Thursday for a number of years. And the goal is that we are going to be fasting until the liberation of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. So we should be fasting Monday and Thursday. At least this coming Thursday and the following Monday. There is going to be a recital of the maqra of the 40 hadith related to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak in various parts of the country, and we must participate in that maqra. And we must do anything to build up our capacity and to learn about Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, to teach our children about it, and do what we can to help and assist our Palestinian brothers and sisters and little children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.